It is a privilege to be here. And I want to have a short introduction before we start. This is kind of becoming a habit. Other places I go, I enjoy it, but I enjoy even more when I get home. This place is becoming home. And in a very selfish way, I kind of like coming here. And I'm going to give you a couple of reasons. Very rarely I get to take my wife with me. This is the place where I take my wife. And now you guys are spoiling me beyond measure because Joyce and Keith told me, take your whole family. I said, we are kind of an army. We are many. And she said, take them all. So this is a real treat. I'm not going to embarrass them tonight because I didn't prepare them for it, but tomorrow I will and present them to you tomorrow. But anyway, this is very special. Number one. Number two, I have here a lot of friends dear to my heart, a lot of people that I know that we talk, some people that I know for a long time that I love. And I'm very happy to see them. And number three, that is not small, the nature is heavenly. If you are here and you don't take a walk in the nature, that's a crime. Why are you here? I mean, you should be here for prayer, but God gave us this nature. Take a walk and see it and love it and rejoice. So, folks, I'm very glad to be here. I was prepared to say, to give a different talk. But I was praying all the time. I actually had a different sermon on the screen. And after the introduction, all this talk, everything went one direction. So I just, God impressed me to change it all together. And probably by God's grace, we will do what I was planning for tonight. We will do it tomorrow. I want to say that we live in a very, very evil society. And while we should love people, be careful. Man, I need to take this down. I cannot see people. I need to see you guys. While we should love people, we should not allow to be influenced. In fact, instead of the church influencing the society, it has been the society influencing the church. And there is no difference between church and society. And if you see them both at the market or in the store, you don't see the difference between the two. And we don't know, and we say, oh, how I love Jesus. That's a bunch of baloney. And we say we love the neighbor. That's baloney too. We love self. We pray for self. We focus on self. We struggle for self. We work for self. From morning through night, it's all about me. And we wonder why God doesn't do miracles, why we have no power. We have a bunch of forms. And God says, I want mercy, not sacrifice. And the word in Hebrew there doesn't refer to sacrificing a lamb, but it clearly refers to religious forms. When he says not sacrifice, it says not all the routine that you do when you go to the church. That's the translation, pure translation. We forgot about that. We have a religion of forms that we do this and this and this and that. And we feel that if we do it, we are okay. And we even use prayer and study of the word to do our duty instead of using it to get close to the Lord. Because when you get close to God, you will never remain the same. Amen. You cannot get close to Him and remain the same. And when you get close to Him, He pours His character, His love into you. When He does that, you desire prayer. I rejoice when I go to prayer. I can hardly wait to go to prayer. I go to prayer and I smile. I love it. You desire prayer. You desire to be with Him. People ask me, how long should I pray? If you are dating, would you ask your girlfriend or boyfriend, how long should I stay with you? That's the wrong question to ask. When you really love the Lord, you wonder, how can I stay longer with you? And you live in a continual communion. That means pray without ceasing. In a continual connection with God. And you don't afford to open your mouth before praying, like Nehemiah. Before answering the king, he prayed. Remember, Jesus says, I don't speak my own words, John 8. And then he says, I don't do my own works either, John 5. He says, I do the works of my Father. When you live in a continual connection with the Lord, you don't afford to do what you want. In fact, there is a quotation in the spirit of prophecy that says, doing your own plans is from Satan. Hello? Did you hear what I said? You want me to read the quotation? I have it. I actually have it. My password, I'm not going to tell it to you. That's mine. But anyway, it says here, give me 1 second because I have so many that I don't know which one to read. I found one that I actually, very important. The reason for your inefficiency in all you do is that you have given up the idea of knowing God's plan and you'd follow your own plans daily. Satan wants you to follow your plans. Now, another quotation that is even better than this. Jesus, in his life on earth, made no plans for himself. Every morning, he searched for the Father's plan. Day by day, he asked the Father to unfold his plans moment by moment, and he followed God's plan. When he would make a plan, he would commit his plan to the Lord to direct his steps, and he was ready to submit the plan, to fulfill it, or give it up. That's the reason we are not efficient. Because we have plans, we plan, we pray that God would bless our plans, and then we wonder why God doesn't do miracles. God cannot do miracles for people that focus on self. For selfishness life, there is no room in heaven. In fact, Satan wants us to be distracted with our plans. There is a quotation that says, okay, every morning devote serious time for meditation and prayer and study of the scripture. Find that connection with heaven until God would show what he has for you. And then remain in a connection with him to hear his voice throughout the day. When you do that, you'll have a saving, transforming influence around you that would influence those that you get in touch with. Where is that from? Give me a second. You see, when I took the picture, I didn't take the whole thing. Give me a second. It is, I'm trying to, in the picture it doesn't show. I can get it to you for tomorrow. It's from the book Prayer, chapter 18. But that book Prayer took quotations from, thoughts from Mount of Blessing, from different places. And at the end of the paragraph, and I just pictured the middle of the paragraph. Anyway, I'm not going to continue to read paragraphs, but I'm going to give you a couple of stories. We talk about submitting our plans to God and following his plan. When we follow our plans in a selfish way, God cannot bless us. People wonder why miracles don't happen, why there is no power. Jesus prayed that God would multiply the bread for 5,000, but he didn't pray that God would multiply the bread when he fasted 40 days. Jesus didn't pray for himself, except once in a life. And that was in Gethsemane. When he prayed for himself, the Father didn't answer that prayer. When he said, take the cup away from me, the Father said, no, you will drink the cup. Jesus prayed always for others. The more my wife and I understand that and pray for others, while we do have challenges, the more God is doing miracles in our life, using us for others, and we get a bunch of phone calls from people that are moved, transformed, lives changed, lives saved, and we feel the blessing of seeing lives changed, and then we see God working in our life for the things that we lately refuse to pray for. We do have needs, but the less we pray for them, and that's a great challenge, trust me. Watch your prayers and see how much you pray for you and how much you pray for others. And God told you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That means that you should pray for the others as long as you pray for yourself. The more we pray for others and forget praying for us, the more God is blessing us and working for us too. But the more God can bless us, and the more he blesses us, the more we can bless others. In fact, there are quotations that I have a few right here that says that to ask for a blessing is from Satan and you'll never receive an answer. That's what the quotation says. It's not from me. It's from the spirit of prophecy. And says that God wants us to ask for blessing for others, not for self. Hello? Oh, I go to church to get a blessing. You'll never get one. Go to church to give a blessing. And she says, when we learn to share blessings, that's when God can pour blessing on us so we have what to share. I'm not going to look for the paragraph. I want to go back to the subject. We live in a very bad society. And it seems to me that it's going to get so bad. You look, even cartoons for children have witchcraft in it. Everywhere. Every movie, there is no good movie anymore. They are all bad. Every news, everything that happens, people that you talk with, it's all about talking to the dead, all about powers, all about selfishness. Be yourself. Who told you to be yourself? Don't be yourself. That's evil. Be like Christ. Do whatever you feel is good. No, that's the reason people are so selfish and they cheat on their spouse and they lie and they because they do whatever they feel is good. Follow your heart. Don't follow God's word. Amen. We are not called to follow our desires. We are not called to fulfill our pleasures. We are called to sacrifice self. We are called to death. Before we sacrifice self, God cannot live in us. This society got so bad because it's all about self. And before Jesus comes, it's going to be so bad that people will be absolutely deceived. And Satan wants us to get there. And so let me explain. I was in school in Southern. And the teacher was called, one of our teachers that you know very well. He was called at 2 a.m. to go to the girls' dorm. And he went there and one of the best students, she was roaring, having foam at her mouth. And she had a knife and she was cutting herself. And if somebody would come close, she would jump with the knife. And they tried to pray. And she said, I hate you. Stop praying. I don't want God. And she was one of the best students, straight A's, best Christians in the school. There, in our school. And as the teacher went there, he prayed and God inspired him to pray the armor of God over her. And as he started to pray, you remember the armor of God from Ephesians chapter 6? You remember? Helmet? You remember? As he prayed, piece by piece of the armor of God, she, 2 weeks later, told the story that it was dark around her. And as he prayed, light started to come gradually. And when he started to pray, she said with a deep voice, she has given her life to me. Leave her alone. She belongs to me. And after he finished prayer, he asked her, why would you say that? And she said, I didn't say it. He that was in me said it. And so later, 2 weeks later, she told the story. She prayed that God would help her in a very difficult exam because she had school full scholarship paid off because of her good grades. And it was a difficult exam. And she said, please, if I don't take a good grade here, I'm going to lose my scholarship. And I am poor and I cannot afford to pay school. Therefore, please help me get an A. And she got a C. And she said, I've been praying, I've been fasting, I had faith, I don't need you anymore. Get out of my life. I refuse to have you, God. I don't want you. Leave me alone. You gave me freedom of choice. Get out of my life. Don't ever say that. If you are frustrated with God, like Job, talk to God openly, because prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. God is able to handle your emotions. God knows what you feel and what you think. Why pretend that you are happy when you are frustrated and we don't know what is going on? Just tell him like Job. Say, Lord, why does it happen? You remember Job? How he was actually respectfully arguing with God. God wants you to be honest in prayer. And so, don't ever say, get out of my life. Don't ever be fake. Oh, everything is good, Lord. Just tell him exactly how it is. And then say, help me because I don't get it. He answers humble, honest prayers. He doesn't like poetry prayers, fake, routine, same words prayers. He likes honest, genuine, relevant prayers when you open your heart and have an honest conversation. Imagine if I said the same words daily to my wife, probably I would sleep on the couch. We talk everything openly. There is no routine words. We talk everything, good and bad. Moreover, with God. You follow me? And so, she says, I said to the Lord, get out of my life. Parenthesis. What was she praying for? What was she praying for? Self, give me good grades. What should she have been prayed for? Lord, it's more than that. That's a good answer, but it's only half. Lord, not only that I want your will. If you want me to lose the school, help me lose it. If you want me not to be in the school, I should not be there. It's not about my job. Jesus is coming soon. This job is going to go away. Why would the job or the house or the education define who I am? Shouldn't your presence define who I am? Moreover, Lord, if this grade can help me be a light for the classmates and for the teachers and they would know you and be saved, do it. But if you want something different, do it. Whatever you do, I don't care for my school. This is what I ask you. I have so many classmates that they will go to the fire. Give me their life for heaven or I die. I don't care. I give you my school. I give you my health. I give you my life. But something that I cannot give it up. I want you to save my classmates. Do you follow me? That should be the prayer. When you pray that prayer, God not only answers that prayer, He answers all the unspoken prayers. Because He knows what you need. He loves you more than you love yourself. And He wants the best for you. But we focus so much on self that if God answered, we would use it for self. And we think we are good Christians. No, we are just like the world. God called us to be like Jesus. Jesus didn't come for self. He came to serve. He called us to serve. You follow me? If you want happiness, there is a greater blessing to bless than to be blessed. Let me make a parenthesis in the story. I was in Cuba. A lady came to the church every night. You heard the story. If you heard it, you are going to hear it again. I don't care. A lady brought 150 children to 200 children every night. I said, what are you doing? You force them, you kill them, you pay them. How can you bring 150 children every night to evangelism? And maybe 50 parents. What do you do? The whole church brings 5 people and you bring 200 people. What are you doing? And she says, come over tomorrow 2 p.m. Okay. I took the pastor. Tomorrow 2 p.m. I go to her house. Her house was literally from here to here, from here to here. My walk-in closet is bigger. And I'm not happy. I say, not enough room to put our clothes. And in that little garbage house that was covered with broken pieces of steel, I have pictures. I actually can show you pictures of that house. It was a bunk bed, three levels. Youngest daughter, middle son, oldest son at the top, and then here, a bunk bed, grandparents and parents. And between the two beds, if you are fat, you could not get out. You would have to walk sideways, get out, and here was two chairs and the stove. The stove was not a stove the way you know it. It was a little camping thing, like this. And you had no room to turn around. And that was her house. And then, so many bedrooms and so many. I do have them too, many bedrooms. Praise the Lord for it. But the point is, when we start complaining, oh, my house doesn't have that. Stop complaining. God gave you a house, not that you have comfort. God gave you a house that you have neighbors to invite over to pray with. God makes you responsible for those neighbors. And so, we got there at 15 before 2 o'clock. She said, just wait. At 2 o'clock, around 150 to 200 children came. Her front yard was from here to the wall. They were all like sardines together that you could not move because the little front yard and all the kids there. And she says, sit down. They all sat on the dirt. And she said, I want the papers. I said, what papers? And she says, well, this is the deal. Their parents have no job. I have a job. I make $12 a month. Did you hear how much? $12 a month. And she says, the parents have no job. I cannot afford to buy everything, but I can afford to buy rice. They don't have food. I feed them. But I want to evangelize them, because if you give them food, that's for today. But if you give them the gospel, that's for eternity. So I want to give them the food in order to gain their friendship, in order to give them the gospel to save them. And so, therefore, I gain their friendship, to get their trust, and to tell them about Jesus. So what I do, I give them the rice. But I want them to pay attention, because kids, they don't listen. Moreover, when you have 200 kids around you. So in order to pay attention, I tell them, if you don't remember the story, you don't get the rice. So this is how I check that you remember the story. You go home, and you tell the parents the story. And the parents sign on a paper that you told them the story. And if you have the signed paper, you eat rice tomorrow. This way, they listen, and I can reach the parents with the gospel, because the parents will not come. And this way, I can evangelize the parents. She gathered the signed papers, and then she said, now you can eat rice. And I said to her, you feed 200 children. I said, from $12. And she says, big, grim, like Muppets. Have you watched Muppets? They have a mouth that ends in the ears, like, big mouth. She opened a big mouth, big, grim, and she said, God gave me a job. I said, but you make $12. And she says, $12 is better than nothing. And I said to myself, we complain all the time. You can be positive and praise the Lord for what you have. Oh, this manna, I got tired of it. That's heavenly blessing, brother, that you don't deserve. She was praising the Lord for $12 a month, and she was sharing the $12 a month with 150, 200 kids and bringing them to church. And 26 people, parents, got baptized. And she was rejoicing, big smile, and she says, 26 people will be in heaven forever, saved because of my rice. Can you understand the privilege to share these $12? And she was happy. And I said, you are happy? She says, there is no greater blessing than to share the $12. Shame on us. Jesus is coming soon. Everything is going to burn. What do you live for? You want a blessing? That's the happiness. when you share the blessing. That makes you like Christ. When Jesus comes, he's not going to say to you, oh, you kept Sabbath and you did camp meeting and evangelism and you ate tofu. Jesus is going to say, I was poor, I was naked, I was in prison, I was hungry. You remember? I want mercy, not sacrifice. And so, going back, the girl prayed, Lord, give me straight A's. And she failed. And she said, get out of my life. As soon as Jesus got out, guess who got in? You don't want to get there. But this is the crazy stuff. In one of the paragraphs that I have here, I will be happy to read it for you. It says that every time we focus on self, we borrow Satan's character. Now tell me, you look around in society and in the church. What do people live for? Not for self? What do people struggle for? What do people work for? What do people pray for? Not for self? We are slaves to selfishness and self-centeredness. And we say we love Jesus? Give me a break. You love Jesus? You love people because Jesus loves people. You have neighbors? You work with neighbors. You pray for neighbors. And you say, Lord, I'm not going to just say, oh, be with Jimmy and Mary. Lord, give me Jimmy and Mary or I die. You can take my job, you can take my life, but give me my neighbors. And so, let me move on. So, my teacher prayed for her. She was delivered. 2 weeks later, she told the story. And she said, I learned a lesson. I will never, never let God go because without him, I am nothing. 1 second I am alone, Satan comes in. Number two, I will never focus on myself any longer. I don't care what happens to my school. I don't care what happens to my health. I don't care what happens to my job. I don't care what happens to my house. I want God first. Seek first the kingdom of God. And trust his promise. The other things will be provided. Wrong priorities when you seek this kingdom first. And so, another story. I was in a town called Oțelul Roșu, that means in English, the red steel. And in that town, my wife and myself and our kids lived for several years. And this is the crazy part. In that, we lived in a building with like several stories. At the lower level, first floor, it was a shopping center, grocery store, this and that, and like a place where you would buy cheese and milk and all the crazy stuff, and a place that you would, a shopping center. And that was a little taller than the flats, the apartments. After the shopping center was the next floor. It was a lady doctor and computer engineer. Popescu was their last name. Above them, the next floor, it was our family. Above us, the following floor, it was Mona. Mona was a 13-year-old girl. Her mother never had to use makeup because her husband kept her with blue eyes all the time. Her sister was in witchcraft, and her father was in prison, got out of prison after 21 years, and he was ready to go back. Her father killed somebody. Her father beat many people. Her father abused people. Her father was just evil from head to toes, dedicated to Satan. Now listen carefully. Mona came to our door, and Mona says, Mrs. Goya, can I have some sugar? And Dana said, sure, you can have some sugar. Thank you. And she left. Next day, Mr. Goya, can I have some oil? We want to cook and we don't have the money. My dad doesn't give us the money and my mom doesn't have money. And you can have some oil. She left. After several days, Mona comes to me and says, Mr. Goya, I don't understand. In our house, it's fight, screamings, beating. In your house, when we come, you sing, you have joy. It's always so nice. Why don't we have the same? What is different in your house? And I said, Mona, we have Jesus in our home. And she says, can I have him too? I said, yes, you can borrow him. We can share him. The more you share, the more you have. By the way, people that don't share because they don't have him. How can you give what you don't have? When you have him, you don't keep him inside. He's bigger than you. You share. You follow me? So I told her, Mona, let's do this. Come this Sabbath to church. We have a children program. She came. Oh, she loved those songs. She loved it. And then she learned another song, and another song, and another song, and David and Goliath story, and Jonah's story, and Noah's story. And she came to me and said, Mr. Goya, every time I sing, and every time I tell the stories, I feel Jesus too, and I have peace and joy. Well, 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 guess what? Somebody knocks in the door. When I go to the door, it is Mona's dad. He has an, how do you call, axe that you cut trees with? How? Axe in his hand. When I saw him, imagine, I was like, oopsie. And he said, I killed people before. I hate God. I hate you. Don't ever talk to my daughter about God. If you do it again, I'm going to kill your family, your wife, your children, and you, and then I go back to prison. I like it there. I belong there. I don't care if I go to prison. And he had shiny eyes, lost, deep. When he looked to me, he was like, lost. I've never seen that type of face in my life. Shiny. They were like burning. And he said, I'll kill you. And then he left. Well, well, well. He didn't let Mona go to church anymore. He talked to Mona's sister. Mona's sister asked Mona to go to witchcraft with her. Mona came to me. Should I go? I said, no, 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 no. Don't go there. You never go there. I said, you stay away from Satan. Well, she talked to her sister. Her sister said, just one time, just one time to see it, and then you don't have to go back. She did. She came back home and she was not herself. She had a high-pitched voice and a deep-pitched bass smoker voice. And Mona started to run through the house in the night. And we could hear above us, tup, 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 I hate Jesus. And I asked Mona next day, why do you say that? And she would say, it's not me, it is him who is in me. I want Jesus, but he doesn't let me go. He's inside. This is real. This is not a made-up story. Long story short, one night, she was running and screaming, and the parents fighting, and my wife and I could not go to sleep. And we felt physical pressure pushing on our chest. Like somebody would literally push you that we could not breathe. So we started to pray. And as we prayed, the pressure went away and there was peace and there was no more screaming above, in the apartment above. As soon as we stopped praying, she started to run and scream again. So we started to pray again and she stopped again. When we stopped praying, she started to scream again. We started to pray again and it was on and off until 2:15 a.m. We were tired. We prayed and we wanted to go to sleep. When we stopped praying, I heard her tup, 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 tup. Window opened. And then mother, Mona! And then, poo! And I told my wife, she jumped out the window. Sure enough, we went to the kitchen window, we opened the window, and she was down on the concrete. She jumped from the, we call it in Romania third story, but in America it's fourth, because in Romania we don't count the lower level. We count it zero level and then one, two, three. But here, you first floor, you call it first. We call it zero in Europe. You follow me? So in America, it would be from the fourth floor she jumped on concrete. Can you imagine that? When she hit the concrete with her tummy. And I said to my wife, she's dead. Well, well, well. She instantly jumped up and she started to do that. And I called 911 and the ambulance came and took her. And they took her to Caransebeș in hospital. And they tried to hold her still, and she had more power than the doctors, and they tied her with ropes, and she broke them, and they had to do injections to calm her down. And they told me, we don't get it. She's all broken, all bones, several broken bones, and she has so much power. But it was not her. Do you follow me? So we went to visit in hospital. Mona, why did you jump off the window? And she said, it was not me. I wanted to go back to Jesus, and he threw me off the window. He wanted to kill me. I said, Mona, you need to ask him to leave you. How do I do that? So I gave her the book, Flowers and Stars, it says in English, Flourishing Stella. It's a songbook for children. And I gave her Steps to Christ, and I gave her Christ Object Lesson, and I gave her a Bible. And I said, you sing a song as David would sing a song, and the evil spirits would leave the king. You sing a song from this book. You read from the Bible. You read from this Christ Object Lesson, a story. I went to visit her next day, and she said, every time I sing or pray or read, he goes away. Well. Her father came, talked to the doctors, and said, if somebody comes except family, I'll kill you, the doctors, and the nurses, and then I go back to prison. And so we are not allowed to visit her anymore. And then in a few weeks later, we moved to America. So I don't know the end of the story. Folks, this is real. If there is a God, there is a Satan. And we are so ignorant that we live in war. There is war around you. There is war happening around us. There is war. I was in the same town called Oțelul Roșu or the Red Steel. And I was walking to the market to do my grocery shopping. And as I was coming back, instead of going on the road, I went between two buildings, went to the post office, and then came in front of the Palace of Culture. And there were many, many, many people, like 200-300 people. So, whoa, is it an accident or what, you know? I go there, and there was a prophet healing people, literally. And the guy would come with his hand close to the forehead, but about 5, 6, 10 inches away. He did not touch people. I saw it. He would come close. When he would come close to the head, people, bang, would be slammed to the ground, literally thrown to the ground. And they would get up. I would imagine if somebody would throw me to the ground on concrete, that I would have more pain than before. They would get up. They would say, oh, I have no more pain. And then the next one came, bang, to the ground. Oh, my leg doesn't hurt. And people would go healed. Can Satan perform miracles, yes or no? Absolutely. Look to Moses in Egypt. Whatever Moses did, Pharaoh's witch people did too, didn't they? The Bible says that there will be many false miracles. The spirit of prophecy says that Satan will perform miracles to deceive people. There will be false miracles and real miracles. False revival, real revival. And the false, the fake comes right before the real. And if you don't study and don't pray, you go. Or you are so afraid of the false that you run away from the real and you will not be part of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Do you follow me? And so, I should not have stayed, but I did. And after people left, I went to him and I said, you are a fake prophet. And you know, I'm a little bold. I'm kind of crazy. If you know me a little. And so I said, you are fake. And he says, no, I work with God's power. I said, no, because you told people that you have 7 wives and you sleep with them to make little prophets through the Spirit. The Bible tells you that God created Adam and Eve, not Eve's, plural, one. And the Ten Commandments say that if you have more than your wife, that's breaking God's commandment. And the Bible says that if you don't follow the law and the testimony, you are fake. There is no light in you. He says, oh, I have God, but you know, we don't have to follow the law anymore. We just follow the Spirit. I said, yes, right. It depends what Spirit. And I said, stay away. It's Satan in you. And he says, I hate you and your God. Uh-huh. I was right, huh? Well, will there be prophets or not? How do you distinguish between them? How do you distinguish between them? How do you protect yourself? Let me, you know, you need external protection. You don't have power to protect you. I'm going to jump over. Look here. In this conflict, you cannot fight the enemy in your own wisdom or strength. You need external protection. If you think you can win the battle because you have experience, because you are wise, because you pray, because you have already lost. Let him who thinks he stands take heed that lest he fall. Let me jump a little because it's late. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, against spiritual hosts in the heavenly places. False messiah and false prophets will appear and perform, it doesn't say fake, it says great signs and wonders to deceive the evil people. Does it say so? Who? Who is the elect? Hello? Who is the elect? Now listen. Something great and decisive is about to take place. The world is on the verge of a great crisis. In our land, religious liberty will soon come to an end. There will be a time of trouble like never in history before. At that time, those people whose names are written in the book will be delivered. So, the last great delusion is soon to open before us. The world is ready. If you knew what is going on right now, you would know that it's ready, ready. Antichrist is to perform marvelous works in our sight. So closely, this is what I want you to get. Listen carefully to this sentence. So closely will the counterfeit resemble the true that it will be impossible. What does he say? How? What means impossible? Impossible to distinguish between them except by the scriptures. Now listen carefully. If Satan comes to you with a $15 bill, he cannot fool you. But if he comes to you with a $20 bill that it looks like the real dollar bill, you know, follow me? Satan is not going to come to you with something evil. Satan is going to say, you need to go back to church. You need to study your Bible. You need to pray. You need to love the Lord. You need to love people. Satan is going to teach you good stuff. And among all that good stuff, he's going to drop just a little poison. My father used to say, you don't need a bad soup. You just need a good soup with a drop of poison and you are done. Do you follow me? Okay. The enemy will deceive how many? How many means the whole world? Hello? He will personate angels of light, personate even Christ to selected message 96. So, listen, there will be an emotional excitement, mingling of truth, the false, great controversy. Men under the influence of evil spirits will work miracles. Sick will be healed. Are we prepared for the coming trial? Now, I want you to read Revelation 18. For by your sorceries, how many people? All? All nations were deceived. By the way, sorceries is pharmakia, where you have the word pharmacy from, is translated anything that medicates the mind to make it confused. When you don't sleep enough, when you eat too much, when you watch TV too much, anything that can make you confused is pharmakia or sorcery. It's used by Satan so you don't have a clear mind. And so, let's continue. How do you distinguish between God's voice, Satan's voice, and your voice when you eat too much pizza? How do you distinguish between God's plan, your plan, and Satan's plan? How do you distinguish between real miracles, false miracles? How do you distinguish between real revival, false revival? Should you hear the voice of God or not? How do you know when God talks? How do you make right decisions? So,
How do you defend yourself in the coming crisis? How do you prepare for the coming crisis? Jesus is coming soon. The crisis is coming soon. Are you so busy with your life that you don't prepare and you think that when the signs start, you will prepare? That's really bad. The signs already started long ago, but we don't see them because signs don't happen like nothing, nothing, nothing. Here are the signs. The signs go like birth labor. A little, then a little more, then a little more, then a little more, and you get used with them, and you say, hey, there have been tornadoes always. No, there not have been tornadoes always. Oh, fires have been always. No, in the last few years, they have intensified. Earthquakes. No, there was one earthquake in 2,000 years, and then one earthquake in 100, and then one in 50 years, and then one in 2 years, and then one a year, and then 50 a year, and now there are 360 earthquakes every minute. They grow gradually, you get used, and nothing would impress you. No fire, no tornado, no economy, no terrorism. Nothing would impress us because we are used to the signs. Don't wait for the final crisis to get prepared. If you don't keep up with those who walk, how are you going to keep up with those on horses? You will not prepare in the crisis. You will fail in the crisis. You prepare now. Nothing happens by chance. All things work together. When you have a trial yesterday, and you have a trial today, and you have a trial tomorrow, that's not because, oh, my boss is so evil. That's because God allowed your boss to make your life miserable. If God didn't allow it, it would not have happened. Satan, before attacking Job, asked God for permission. And God said, yes, you can have him accept his life. God allows it, because if God says no, it doesn't happen. And God is not in vacation, and God is not sleeping. God knows what's going on in your life. And if God allows it, you need it. And God allows it because you need to learn patience, and you need to learn faith, and you need to learn dependence on God, not on your wisdom, and you need to let it go and be able to give it up, because this is how you train for the coming crisis. You follow me? This is a school, folks. Don't try to fix it. Try to grow from it. Don't pray that God will solve the problem. Pray that God will teach you through the problem. Because if you don't learn it, you are going to repeat the class again and again. Until you either fail or grow. Do you follow me? Or so, let's move on a little. Three strategies for spiritual protection. It says in Ephesians 6, be strong not in your wisdom, not in your experience. Be strong in the Lord. Number two, pray all the time with all prayers for all things, for all saints. Keep praying and never stop praying. It says right there. And number three, take the whole armor of God. When he talks about the armor of God, the word used is panoplia, that we have the word panoply from. And panoplia in the Bible is used several times in the Old and in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it starts from Genesis, and it's in Hebrew, different word. It says that Adam and Eve were surrounded by glory, by light. When they sinned, that light disappeared, and they had to put leaves together. That's the word, panoplia. It says later in the book of Job, Satan comes before the Lord, and God says, have you seen my servant Job? There is nobody like him. And Satan says, you gave him a Mercedes, you gave him a Lexus for his wife, you gave him a big house, you gave him a good job, you gave him $2 million a year, you gave him health, you gave him 10 children, all have good jobs. Hey, give me $2 million, I love you too. What if you take everything from him? What if he's going to lose his house, he's going to lose his job, he's going to lose his health, he's going to lose his family? Is he going to trust you, or he's going to say, Lord, why don't you answer my prayer? And lose his faith. Because that's what we do. As soon as we face trials, we lose our minds. Do you follow me? And our love for God doesn't depend on relationship. Our love for God depends on blessings. Hello? Did you hear what I said? Our love for God depends on answers to prayer and blessings instead of regardless to depend on relationship. My father used to say, I don't love God for eternal life. I don't love God for blessings. I don't love God for what he does for me. I don't love God for answering my prayers. If God was broke and had no eternal life and no answers, I still love him for his cross. Do you follow me? And so, going back, panoplia, Satan says, take everything from his life for a second. He's going to curse you, give up his faith, lose his mind, turn his back. He will hate you. He will pray like once, twice, three times, fast. And if nothing happens, he will give up his faith. Don't you do that? And God said, no, no, no. Job doesn't love me because of blessings. Job knows me and loves me because of relationship. And Satan says, no, no, no. I want to test that. And God says, you can have him, except his life. One day he lost his children, he lost his house, he lost his job, he lost his health, he lost everything. When we lose two or three things, we go like, wow! You follow me? And his wife says, curse God. And Job says, you know what? We get all the good stuff from God, and we are never thankful. And we don't realize it is from him. We lose it, and then we curse him. No, no, no. I love him when he gave me the blessings. I love him when he takes the blessings. Praise the name of the Lord. What a Christian. And God was like, do you see my kid? Do you see my, to the Holy, watch it. That's my kid. Now we talk love. Do you follow me? If my kids call me just for money, that's no love. My kids call me when I am broke too. So, let's go on. What did Satan say to the Lord? You go there in chapter 1, and Satan says, quote, you put a hedge of protection around him, his house, and all that belongs to him. That's the reason he loves you. Take that protection and he will curse you. The word hedge there is panoplia. You put a hedge around him. That word is used when he says, the angel of the Lord camps around, the same word. Do you follow me? The same word is here, the armor of God. I remember my grandpa, old Goya John, my grandpa, he was a man of prayer. He walked with God. My grandpa went to a funeral to a little village called Oprișor, close to Craiova. And it was against the law in that time, right after the war, for three Adventists to gather together. You could have two, but if the third, if you're shopping, you're in Walmart. There was no Walmart there. And you met with him. And she came. If the police came, they would arrest you. When the third one came, one had to leave, because that means that you congregate together. And it was against the law, right after the war in Romania. And my grandpa told me the story that they planted a church in that village, Oprișor. And somebody died. They didn't have a building. They had a group of 16 people meeting in a house, secretly, and praying and studying. Well, somebody died. Now they had to bury the dead. So guess what? When you have a funeral, people come together. But they were not able to bury the dead in the house. They had to go to the cemetery. And so they said, should we have just two and then two later? And my grandpa says, you have a God. In Revelation 13, there is a list of people who don't make it to heaven. Top of the list is people who are afraid. If you have a God, you don't have fear. When you have fear, you don't have God. If you have fear and you have God, your God, it's a small God. Because if you have a big God, you are not afraid. And my grandpa said to them, let's bury our dead. And if God wants us to be beaten by the police, then we deserve a spanking. They had a funeral, the service in the church, and then let's take the dead to the cemetery. Went to get out to the church, in the house. Went to get out of the house, guess what? Police. In that time was gendarmeria. There were like 20 of them, 10 on this side, 10 on this side, like a tunnel, and they had those rubber sticks. How do you call them? Batons? I don't know how to. And as you would come out, you had to walk through that tunnel, and they would hit you in the head until you'd collapse, as my microphone collapsed. And so they all didn't want to get out of the house. They were afraid. My grandpa said, "Lord, we didn't come here for us. We came here to serve you. We put ourselves in your hands. You saved the three young men from the fiery furnace. Nothing is impossible with you." And they told me, I talked to a guy called Niku from that village. And he said, "Well, my parents told me, when your grandpa would pray, you would sense that he actually talked to God. He was not just saying a prayer. He was having a conversation with somebody real." So he said, "Lord, I know that you are here. I can sense you. And I know that nothing is impossible with you. So if you want to protect us from the police, this is nothing. Your army is bigger than this army. Thank you. And if you want us to be beaten, thank you. I'm happy to be beaten for you. Thank you, Lord." And he smiled and he opened the door and he stepped out. And the police went backwards. And he walked and had a funeral. And then the chief of police came to his house and says, "Mr. Goya, who are the soldiers around you?" He says, "Fox, you drink too much." "There was nobody around me." They said, "Oh, we saw them. There are many soldiers." That was a hedge of panoply. Do you follow me? My father was corporator, canvassing, giving Bibles and spiritual prophecy. It was against the law. In a communist country, you don't do that. With his friend Benjamin, in Romanian is Benny Balasha, that right now lives in Timișoara. With his friend, they took two backpacks of books and they go to a little town and they give books. And some of the people go to the police and the police learns and the police comes to beat them and to put them in prison and confiscate the books. And they had to hide in the forest. But to get out of the village, you would have to go over a bridge that goes over a big gorge, over a water that goes very fast there. And so the police got by the bridge. So you could not get out of the town without crossing the bridge. So how do they get out? And they wait 1, 2, 3, 4 hours. The police would stay there. So my father says to Benjamin, "There is another old bridge on cables, broken, rotten, in the forest. Let's walk that way around the police." So they go to that bridge. As they go, the bridge is literally rotten. And they, you know. My father says, "Why are you afraid? You serve God." There is a quotation, I have it in my telephone. I would be glad to read it to you. That says, "When you stop serving self and you serve the Lord, you put your trust in Him, He'll provide all necessary things for you beyond your prayers or expectations." When you don't serve self, but you serve the Lord. So my father said to Benjamin, "Why are you afraid?" And my father started to sing a song that he says, "I am a son of the king, son of the king, son of the king. I am a son of the king, and I sing. I am a son of the king, of the king, of the king. I am a son of the king." Da, 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 da. And then he says, "I am not afraid of anything because I am with Jesus. He surrounds me with his angels, and I can sing. No me africa de nimic." And my father started to sing, "I am a son of the king, son of the king, son of the king." And Benjamin says, "Pavel, watch it." And my father says, "What?" And he says, "Look." And my father looks. And his front foot is on the wood boards. And the left foot, there are 6 wood boards missing. And the gorge way down. And he has his foot in the air. And he says, "Oops." And Benjamin says, "It's a big gap. 6 boards missing. How am I going to pass it?" And my father says, "Do you like me?" "No, I cannot do that." So he throws the backpack, and then he steps back, runs, and jumps over. And he says, "You stepped at least 2 or 3 steps in the air." And my father says, "Well, he says in Psalm, he will set his angels to put their palm. 10,000 may fall on your right, 1,000 on your left is not going to touch you." What was that? Panoplia. The spirit of prophecy says, every morning, gather your family around the altar. Pray a blessing. Pray God's protection for your children and for your family. Do never leave that room without asking God's presence to surround you. My father was praying day and night. I would go to sleep at 1 a.m., 3 a.m., not to sleep, I'm sorry, to the kitchen to eat. I ate all the time. And I would go to their bedroom. And as I would go, my mom would sleep. My dad would pray. I asked him, why do you pray so much? And my father said, for you? I said, I don't need so much prayer. He said, you see, that's the reason I pray a lot. And then I said, but you pray all the time. And he said, well, I pray for you, and I pray for your sisters, and I pray for your mom, and I pray for people in the church, and I pray for neighbors. And he says, I don't have enough time in the night to pray for everybody. I want these people in heaven. And then he said, more than anything, how could I give Jesus if I don't have Jesus? I pray that Jesus is going to fill me with his presence. And then he said, I pray that he will surround me all over, above, under, left, right, front, behind, all over, to the point that I am not me anymore, but it's him. Isn't that beautiful? Folks, if you want to have a religion, that's religion. Otherwise, it's all forms. Oh, you keep Sabbath? Don't get me wrong. We should. It's a blessing from God. But Pharisees kept Sabbath better than you and me. Yet they killed Jesus. If you have only forms, but you don't have that panoplia, that presence, then we are not better than the Pharisees. That's the reason we have no power. That's the reason people don't come to our churches. That's the reason the sick is not healed. That's the reason nothing happens. Because we are so self-centered that we have no time for Christ, no time for service. My time is up, and I am tired, and I am hungry. And I did not even start the sermon. In fact, this is in the beginning of the slides, and I have 40 slides, and probably I did only 8 of them. But we can finish tonight. Excuse me?
Keep going.
I need to eat. What time is it? What time is it?
8:44.
It's 8:45. What time we started? When did I start? What time I started? 1 hour and 2 minutes. You see, to talk more than 1 hour is evil. I got to stop. This is the deal. We continue tomorrow, okay? Folks, if you came here this weekend and you go home the same, you lost your time.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
If you don't make a decision today, you will not make a decision tomorrow. Don't wonder, how am I going to do it? You will not be able to do it. It's none of your business how transformation happens in your life. God didn't say, change your heart. God said, I will give you a new heart. And that's a creation miracle. It's to be born again. How could you be born again? It's none of your business how transformation happens. What is your business is to invite God's presence in your life. Did you hear me? What is your business is to say, Lord, I want you more than life. I want you more than food. I want you more than water. I want you more than job. I want you more than house. I want you more than anything. I want you first, and then my family, and then the job, and then. I want you first. If you take something from me, and if that's what it takes for you to be in my life, take it. I give it to you. Do whatever it takes. If you need to kill me, kill me. If you need to cut my hand off, take it. I want you first at any price, and I'm not going to let you go. I cannot change myself. I know the sins that I struggle with. I know the temper that I struggle with. I know the problems that I have. I know my mind. I know my habits. I know myself. Probably I don't even know myself as evil as I am, because I think I am good. If people tell me that I am evil, I get upset, though they tell the truth. You follow me? Probably I don't know how bad I am, because I don't know you enough, because if I know you, then I know how bad I am. When I compare myself with you, not with people. But this is the deal, Lord. I cannot change myself. And I'm not going to struggle to change myself. But I want you. Come into my heart. Because that's what God gave you. Choice. He didn't give you the power to change. He gave you the power to choose. And your duty is to choose him daily. And his duty is to change you. And if you do your part, he will do his part. How? None of your business to understand. Even if you try, you need to have God's brain to understand God's brain. You follow me? Therefore, stop trying to understand how God works. That's the reason you need faith. So what you do, you choose him and you choose to believe. Ellen White has a quotation, I have it in my telephone. She says, it is from Satan to allow unbelief. And then she says, think faith, talk faith. And then she says, the way you think and talk is going to influence the way you act. What you talk makes what you think, makes how you act. Talk faith. Don't allow doubt. My father used to say, birds fly over you. You cannot control them, but don't let them make a nest on your head. Let me explain. Temptations, doubts can fly over you. Don't let them make a nest inside. You follow me? Basically, when doubt comes, you say, get away. And then nonsense, crazy, say, I believe, I don't deserve, I cannot do it, I don't know how he does it, but I believe that he will do it because he promised and I take his word for it and God doesn't lie. I cannot change, but I believe that he will do it. Talk faith. And as you talk faith, not only that you influence how you think and how you act, but you allow God to work, because without faith it's impossible to please God. You follow me? You allow God to work and you will see the transformation in your life. So for tonight we stop here, because I could go forever and you'll never eat or sleep. And I don't care if you need food, but I do. I do. I see here some friends, they gave me the best polenta. Oh, with garlic sauce? Invite me again. But let's not talk about food, because I get sick here, I faint. Listen, folks, make a decision. Not that you change, not that you do great miracles and things. Make a decision that from today on, you invite God daily in your life. Trust me, when you do that, you may not see as the Holy Spirit works, as you don't see the wind, but you will see things happening. Satan is going to attack you like crazy. You'll start getting pain. Oh, my leg. You start losing jobs. Satan leaves you alone when you don't make that decision. But when you make that decision, things will go wrong, because Satan would hate you for that. That's not the time to stop. That's the time to pray even more and say, Lord, put your presence around me. Because the more you pray, the more Satan attacks. The more Satan attacks and you keep praying, the more miracles God is going to do for you, because he's going to put that hedge around you and you will experience miracles like never before. So when you see Satan attacking, that's not a reason to stop. That's a reason to pray even more. And then you'll see God's hand. God is calling you to do that. So as you experience his presence, you go back and you show that saving influence to others so they can know Christ and you can see people in heaven because of God in you. Let's pray together. Father, we don't even know how much we miss. You are at the heart, ready to enter. You desire, you wait. You love us, you want to communicate, you want to walk with us. You want to bless us, you want to work through us. And we look to the problems, and we look to self, instead of fixing our eyes on you. Instead of inviting you in and understanding that it's your power that can do it. Please, help us all to start inviting you in our life, starting today. We believe that you already answered. We prayed in Jesus' merits and we thank you, Lord. Amen.